Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, who draws us into a mutual relationship of giving and receiving extravagant love. Amen.
Amen.
In the summer of 2006, I led a large group to Guatemala that were from two churches, one Lutheran from suburban Pennsylvania, and the other non-denominational from rural Indiana. We had a group about 25 from each church with a solid group of teenagers. We began our time in a small farming village north of Guatemala City with a woman named Rosita, who had felt compassion for her indigenous community that was struggling with hunger and poverty and lack of educational opportunities. Many of the village's teenagers would leave the community each year to travel to Guatemala City in hopes that they would find jobs to help support their families. Rosita's hope was that these children would be able to stay in their village and be educated there, bringing new ideas and skills into their community so that they could move into a better future together. So strong was her belief in this better future that she made a very costly choice. She offered her personal home and its surrounding property in service to the community. And our group was partnering with her to begin this new season. One of the donations that Rosita had asked our group to bring along with us were new and used school shoes for the children in her community, as shoes were a cost most parents could not afford. Rosita explained to us that the children coming would be mostly barefoot and would arrive feet muddy from walking to her house. And so she informed us that we would need to first wash the children's feet before finding shoes that fit them. And so we got going to prepare for this day, getting our shoes unpacked, putting them in piles by size, arranging chairs in a grassy area into a circle where we would have children sitting in the chairs with piles of shoes and socks in the center, and a towel underneath each chair so that we could, with a bin of water, clean feet before matching them with shoes. And so the children were arriving, and I asked for volunteers to help wash feet and match the shoes, and silence followed my request. And I realized foot washing is something that creates anxiety in Americans. People are not used to interacting with feet. We keep our feet covered. No shirt, no shoes, no service. But there in that place, foot washing was an act of service. This took some convincing. I did not have volunteers jumping up and down, eager to wash feet. Most of our volunteers kind of cringed because feet would be dirty and maybe even stinky. But I needed foot washers, and so I asked those in leadership to come with me. And I even pressured my own children to wash feet. We walked into that circle with anxiety, maybe even fear, definitely a huge sense of uncertainty. How would this humble act be received? We were feeling uncomfortable and uncertain of what to do and what to say in that moment. I wonder how Mary decided to anoint Jesus' feet. In Jesus' time, people walked from place to place in sandals or bare feet. That's how they got around on these dusty and dirty roads. And so when they would arrive at their destination, their feet would be dirty, maybe even caked in mud. And so it was customary and also an act of hospitality to have a foot washing bin of water for guests as they arrived. In Jesus' time, the act of foot washing also revealed something about the relationship between the washer and the receiver of the washing. Servants washed the feet of guests that were visiting a household, as in this instance, foot washing was considered a lowly and humble act fit for servitude. A husband's feet would be washed by his wife or his children at the end of the day as an expression of honor and love. Students would wash the feet of their rabbi, their teachers, to show respect and dedication. Since foot washing was a common daily activity, any foot washing that ended with fragrant oil being wiped on the feet indicated the highest form of honor and devotion. So imagine how all the layers of relationship are indicated here between Mary and Jesus. This Mary is the sister of Lazarus, the one who Jesus raised from the dead. The Mary who Jesus found weeping 4 days after her brother Lazarus was laid in a tomb, who said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died," bringing Jesus himself to tears as he would then weep along with Mary. In that story, we were told that Jesus loved Lazarus and Martha and Mary. They're close friends like family. And at the end of that story, Lazarus is raised from the dead, which incites the chief priests and the Pharisees to search for Jesus, to have him arrested and put to death. It is in this setting where Jesus' human life is in danger that our story today takes place. The Passover draws near when Jesus and many from the Jewish community are making their way to the temple in Jerusalem. And here we see the household of Lazarus pausing to offer this dinner for Jesus and at least one of his disciples, maybe more. This will be Jesus' last supper before he enters into Jerusalem on a donkey, journeying toward the cross and ultimately his death. I imagine Jesus and his closest friends were filled with fear, a sense of dread, yet there they were together to share this meal. And so in this intimate setting, as Lazarus reclines at the table with Jesus, as Martha serves the food, we find Mary kneeling at the foot of Jesus, bringing forth an absurd amount of costly perfume. We don't know who initially washed Jesus' feet as he entered the household as a guest, but here we see Mary anointing Jesus' feet. Is she putting herself in the place of a servant in this lowly, humble act? Or is she like a family member who's expressing love and honor? Or is she a student of the rabbi, showing respect and devotion toward Jesus? I think the answer is yes, yes, and yes. And she's taken this custom to the deepest level now, bringing this incredible, costly amount of pure nard perfume to anoint Jesus' feet. Nard is highly valued, was highly valued in the ancient world, as this essential oil was extracted from a plant that was found in the Himalayas. And so it was rare, and it came from far away. And we hear there was an entire pound of this nard, and it was undiluted. It was not cut with other oils, an amount so expensive, it was worth nearly a year's salary. This nard was a luxury item, and its use in anointing showed great honor and devotion. And all of it is lavished upon Jesus' feet by Mary. The word we translate as wipe comes from the Greek verb ekmaso, ek meaning out of or from, and maso meaning to knead and to wipe. And we can imagine Mary kneeling down on the floor, Jesus reclined next to the table, the nard oil being poured over his feet, the fragrance filling the whole house, dripping onto the recliner, spilling out onto the floor, probably getting all over his robes. And the fragrance just goes into every nook and cranny, so intense it cannot be escaped, so intrusive that this liminal space is created where maybe fear and dread is overcome by this smell in the present moment. Mary, fully immersed in that moment, then offers a very part of herself, her hair, to wipe, to knead that oil into the feet of Jesus. I imagine her tenderly at first, wrapping her hair around his feet, oil now seeping from his feet to her hands, to her hair, as she begins to wipe, and maybe even more aggressively knead his feet, releasing built-up emotion and tension in a sacred and intimate act of devotion. She gives all of herself to him, her breath, her life, devoted to honoring him, anointing him before he journeys to the cross, before he leaves their household for the last time. Mary's costly devotion shows us what it means to be in an intimate relationship with Jesus, one that gives and receives love that is costly and in humble service to one another. Love one another, the commandment given by Jesus to his disciples at the Last Supper. I wonder if Mary's extravagant act was in Jesus' mind as he knelt down to wash the feet of his disciples. How could it not be? Notice here that Jesus is humbly receiving the extravagant love that Mary is lavishing upon him. He receives and then he gives through the act of foot washing he offers his disciples only days later. His disciples are then instructed to love one another in this way. Relationship with Jesus is filled with reciprocal and mutual love, love that receives and then gives, gives and then receives. As we come to worship, we are reminded of the extravagant love, the costly love that is lavished on us by Jesus. And just as that nard spilled out over Jesus' feet and Mary's hair and onto the recliner and onto the floor, our font spills out and splashes out upon us with grace and love. We're reminded by this story as we are sent from this place that love is reciprocal, mutual, meant to be humbly shared, to be gracefully lavished upon others. And we are called to receive and to give and receive in a way that costs our own selves that sometimes might make us uncomfortable as we humbly offer ourselves in service to others and in devotion to God. As our volunteers entered that circle of Guatemalan children, we knelt down on the grass and we simply began by tenderly lifting one foot, taking our damp towel and cleaning each toe, each heel, each ankle, washing and drying feet and then plunging them into new fluffy socks and shoes. And laughter and smiles and joy resulted. Toes were tickled, shoes were fitted, but most importantly, connection was made. We found ourselves immersed not just in water and towels, but in the holy, in sacred space where extravagant love was poured out, not just on those kiddos, but maybe even more so onto us. New meaning and dimension illuminated our understanding of what it meant to be as a global family. The first circle full of kids left, running into the muddy path with their new socks and shoes. But no one flinched or cringed, because the foot washing was not about clean feet. It was an expression of love. And as the second circle full of kids sat down, the first group of foot washers were interrupted by many of the other travelers, especially the teenagers, who begged, "Please, please, can I please wash the feet of the next group? Can I take your place and serve in that way? Can I kneel down and be present in that sacred space of extravagant love?" And that circle of love went on for hours until all had served each other, and intimate relationships were formed and deepened. Many people from that group became more devoted to each other and to the children of Guatemala, returning to deepen relationships and even changing the priorities of their lives, their careers, and their church communities. And the children of that village became more devoted to their community, choosing to stay and to add to their community through the education they received and the connections that they made at Rosita's house. Beloved Community Thursday of Holy Week is called Maundy Thursday. Maundy comes from the Latin word mandatum, which means commandment, as the story that night of Jesus washing the feet of his disciples ends with Jesus commanding his disciples to love one another. During our Maundy Thursday service, we celebrate this beautiful demonstration of loving one another through foot washing. I invite you to come, even if it's with anxiety, with vulnerability, and with all the other uncomfortable feelings, into this sacred space where we will share together as we viscerally connect with each other in an act of humility, following what Mary and Jesus enacted and what we continue to experience with each other as a sign of God's extravagant love. So may the delicious aroma of God's extravagant love permeate every space within and around us. May we, like Mary, place our whole selves at the feet of Jesus in costly devotion. And may the Holy Spirit empower and urge us into mutual love and service to one another. Lavished by grace, let us lavish others with God's love. Amen.
Amen. Amen.